Nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a pig.
Support for In the Garden comes from The Flower Farm. Open for the season, offering bedding plants, flowering pansies, trees, shrubs, and more. And arriving this week, hanging baskets in all colors. The Flower Farm open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing.
Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing the homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy.
And welcome back to In the Garden. Thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. And with us from Windy Juneau today, Master Gardener Ed Byarski. Good afternoon, Ed.
Hi, Mindy. You forgot the rainy part. You know, the rainy and the windy kind of go together, don't they?
It does. It really does. It's rainy and windy just about everywhere in southeast Alaska today.
Low fire danger. At least we can be glad of that. And I'm just about, as soon as we get off the air, I'll be back to transplanting. I've got an apple tree and a rhododendron to transplant. They might get watered once, and then Mother Nature may take over. If I don't know if you've been watching the predictions for La Nina bringing the Northwest a cooler and wetter summer and fall, maybe. I hope they're wrong.
I do too, Ed. I do too. We love having that beautiful sunshine, and it's so much nicer for gardening enthusiasts, that's for sure.
Yeah, you've got to be, we have to be dedicated to want to get out there in it, and having a good set of rain gear, boots, and all the other stuff. And or, I mean, of course, I kind of rate my day by how many hats I get wet and start, you know, toss another one in the truck and grab a dry one. So a three hat, you know, there have been a lot of two hat days. A three hat day is time to call it quits and go soak in the hot tub for a while.
Ed, you talked a little bit about roadies. Can we talk a little bit about the care of roadies this time of the year and maybe the nutrients we should be giving them?
Certainly. This is a time for, certainly it's a time for planting new ones, but also those that we have. I'm sitting in the truck here looking around at six or eight that have been here for anywhere from 5 to 15 years at this garden. And some of them are definitely a yellowish green. So they really, this is the time of year for just the standard rhododendron fertilizer. And that is pretty easily applied. They're very shallow rooted. So hopefully there's bark mulch or something underneath your roadies. So take the fertilizer that you get, and it is specific, fairly specific for rhododendrons and evergreens normally. It is a fertilizer that is normally for acid-loving plants. And so you would not be using any lime around your rhododendrons. And so that, read on the box or on the package how much to use based on the size of the plant. You know, if your plant is 3 feet across or 5 feet tall. And, of course, there's some huge old ones, certainly around Petersburg and Juneau and other places in southeast. That may take a fair bit. But you just scratch it into that, hopefully, nice loose bark, old bark mulch around the underneath the tree. And you can water it in or let Mother Nature do that. The other thing, is particularly for these ones that are rather on the yellowish-green side, is that we can give them a weak solution of Epsom salts for the magnesium that is in that, and it is truly weak, a quarter teaspoon of Epsom salts in a gallon of water, and that's usually enough for, you know, I guess I was using it on about a gallon for every three shrubs, and these, again, are about 3 to 4 feet across and tall. So pour that in around the base of them, And that it'll take a while, but that should help them turn more green. The magnesium should help in that regard. So this is the time of year for fertilizing. The roots are actively growing. Soil is warming, though not as warm as, not as fast as we'd like it to. So give them a shot of fertilizer and all, because, again, the amount of rain we get leaches out whatever fertilizer we gave them last year. Maybe you can also water them, and for planting a new one, using Miracid, which is, specifically for a Miracle-Gro product for acid-loving plants. And again, that will give you directions on how much to use if you mix some of it up in a bucket, or whether using in a hose end sprayer, perhaps, how much to use on an individual plant to fertilizer. And there's usually cautions too, or there should be at least, about not fertilizing too late into the season. So normally quit fertilizing about the 1st of July for most woody shrubs, so that they can use the fertilizer we've given them but and not get overstimulated to try to do another round of growth, late summer growth, which then doesn't get a chance to harden off in the fall.
Sure. And then planting rhodies, you've talked before, we've had conversations before about not planting them close to, let's say, don't buy a rhodie and a lilac and plant them next to each other.
Correct. Lilacs and peonies, those two do go well together because they do like lime. Or if you have a wood stove, you can use wood ashes as a lime substitute. So that, and that's the sort of thing, right, again, same time of year, you can be fertilizing those and giving them a dose of lime or wood ashes also. So this is the time of year for that. But give them space. Don't have, so if you, I mean, they look great, just not too close together. Not too close being, say, 5 feet apart or more, I would recommend to give them that much space. And if, I don't know that you have a whole lot of choice, but don't plant a lilac 5 feet above, like on a slope above a rhododendron. Because, again, that the sweetness that the lime or the wood ashes, as it changes the soil pH, then some of that will come down to the rhodie. And that's another thing that which can actually cause some yellowing in the rhododendron if it gets if the soil is too sweet. So they like acid soil, kind of like some of the other things that do are strawberries, raspberries, currants, gooseberries, and potatoes, which I guess there's my segue into that. Wasn't that smooth?
Yeah, that's pretty smooth. Let's talk about potatoes then. If you do have a question, I have Ed on the line, which I normally would take questions on because I couldn't get the other line to behave today. And so if you'd like to ask a question, you can text me at 518-0571, or you can send an email to mindy@kfsk.org, and I'll get that, and I can ask the question on the air for you today. So 518-0571, or with the text, email mindy@kfsk.org. Okay, yeah, let's talk about potatoes.
In the meantime, you're multitasking on several different devices, huh?
I am. I'm getting pretty good at this. We're
okay.
High-tech around here.
Well, it is. This is a good time of year to be planting potatoes. Some folks have already, I know. I've been shipping out potatoes from here around southeast Alaska over the past few weeks. And I know at least one fellow down in Wrangell was planting potatoes a month ago. So his soil was ready. There was no frost in the ground. He had clear plastic over the soil to help warm it up. And so that's great. And the biggest problem with planting potatoes too early, we don't really have to worry about frost anymore. But if the soil itself isn't warm enough, the potato pieces will just sit there and not sprout and not grow roots that they need to do that. So if you can warm the soil first, again, we're a big proponent of using the clear plastic to warm it up and making sure you've got good drainage, which is very important too, which also helps to warm the soil, because really wet, soggy soil is going to be really cold, wet soil, which can also then lead to more problems with disease and fungus potentially rotting the seed piece that you're putting in that you hope will grow. So do your soil work first, your soil prep first. Then come along, and the way I do it, in whether it be in boxes or in potential raised beds, I'll dig a trench 6 to 8 inches deep, scratch the soil off to the sides. In the bottom of that trench, I scratch in some organic fertilizer.
Okay.
Again, the packages will tell you how much to use for 100 feet of row, or the package may say use so many pounds of fertilizer for every 100 square feet of bed space. So don't, and again, a lot of times with fertilizer, we're better off using a little less, and we can come back later and give them a little more afterwards. So scratch the fertilizer in the bottom into the soil. Take your seed potatoes, which mine are coming out of my root cellar, and have some of them have half-inch to one-inch sprouts on them. And if they're small ones, ping-pong ball size up to maybe the size of a hen's egg, they can be planted whole. Or larger than that can be cut into multiple pieces, again, of about that same size, as long as they have at least one or two eyes or sprouts on them. We don't have to worry about dusting our the cut surfaces with sulfur dust or sawdust or some other material. I cut them, I have my trench dug and fertilized, and I mean, I'm cutting the potatoes as I'm putting them in the ground, pretty much.
Right, yeah.
And then just barely cover them with soil. So the sprout, even, and the sprout can even be still exposed so that it can see the light, but also so that the soil isn't too cold. If you bury your potatoes 6 inches deep, it's going to be that much colder soil, and it's going to take those sprouts that much longer to emerge through the soil to the surface, where then they can start making their own food. So just planting them shallowly at the beginning is really good. And then again, I still have a partial trench here, so I throw my clear plastic back over the top. So I've got kind of the mini greenhouse effect underneath there, warming that soil and keeping the potato warm, and so that they will grow. And then check them every week or so. And once the new potato sprouts get up there, say 3 inches or so, bring some of that soil in from the sides of, or from the piles where we dug our trench, and hill them up. Raise the soil up around the plants, and even if you're burying leaves, that's okay. And when we may do that, I may do that maybe a couple times. Some folks, if they're growing in something, a deeper container, or having deeper soil, might do it 3 or 4 times. I know some folks do it in large pots or containers. That can work too. But basically, I run out of space and run out of extra soil too by the time I get them hilled up a couple times.
Yeah, that's the thing with potatoes, is running out of, you know, soil to put on top of them. And I know a lot of people who use seaweed, and of course people who are near a beach sometimes just use beach sand. And
right, that's a great, it's great stuff to use, and again, that helps promote good drainage.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is important for potatoes. We've got really wet and soggy soil that also increases the likelihood of, and lots of organic matter, if we're in, you know, muskeg or peat soils, that can also increase the chances that we might have scab, as well as, I know there's a lot of folks with chickens around, but you really don't want to be using fresh chicken manure around these. You can throw that around your rhubarb. I mean, they can tolerate fresh chicken manure, horse manure, that sort of thing. But the potatoes cannot, and a lot of the root crops in general cannot. You need to make sure that stuff is well composted. And the other issue specific to chicken manure is that it tends to be on the sweet side also, because most people are feeding oyster shells to the chickens to make strong shells around their eggs.
Uh-huh.
But then a lot of that still goes through the chicken into the manure. So, again, that can be an issue with using that around potatoes and other some other crops that like the acid conditions.
Okay. And for people who, we've talked about this before too, people who don't have, garden space, but they do have room on a deck maybe for some containers, you can still plant some potatoes in containers.
Sure. And yeah, and it doesn't, nice thing is too with potatoes, again, because we're doing this hilling business, we can actually start, or a gardener can start out, say a gardener's going to start out and wants to get rid of some of their lawn space. Well, they can do that by literally putting some cardboard down on top of the lawn, which we've kind of talked about in the past, and then put just maybe 2 inches of soil on top of the cardboard and plant your potatoes in that. And then as the potatoes grow up taller, you can keep adding soil and adding soil. So by the time you get to mid-June or July, where you've added the soil up and around the potatoes as they've grown up, you now have a new raised bed on top of what was that four-letter word that I just don't want to mention anymore.
I'll mention it. Grass.
Well, that's five letters. The lawn, yeah, well, anyway, you're right. The lawn,
oh, yeah.
Anyway, if you want to get rid of it, that's a good way to do it. And even if you've got, folks may have a patch of gravel where they were parking vehicles or something like that, and maybe don't have that anymore or got rid of their boat. You know, there's no boat to be parked there. Again, you can do the same thing on top of the gravel and just put a couple inches of soil there and gradually go up from there. But again, that basically applies the same way to containers. So if you've got a large container that may be 12 or 16 inches deep, just put a couple of inches of soil in the bottom of that, plant your potatoes, and again, just add soil to the container as the potatoes grow up taller. And again, so whether that be sand, seaweed, maybe a light, very light sprinkling of grass clippings, and maybe you get from a neighbor who still has a lawn, but just a little bit of that, and again, you're just kind of gradually filling it up. And then by the end of summer, assuming that you've got nice healthy plants in there, then you can dump that out, that you've made some new soil essentially, which can then be dumped onto maybe an existing garden bed or used somewhere else, and then sort the potatoes out of that.
And I was going to say some peat moss too, or maybe some muskeg would work.
Yes. Again, yeah, if you can mix some sand and some muskeg together, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, like half and half, those two, chop up the muskeg so it isn't all big chunks, of course. But, yeah, if you can do that, it makes nice soil.
Mm-hmm.
One of the issues sometimes I get asked about too is what if we've got potatoes, maybe they've been stored a little bit warmer than we wanted them to, and they've got 4-inch, 6, maybe 8-inch, or a foot, I've even seen foot-long sprouts on them.
Yes.
And some of that happened with some folks this past week here in town, where they took their potatoes had been dug early, and so they started to sprout early in the root cellar. So you can actually take those long sprouts, and whether they're attached or even come off the potato, you can plant the sprouts and get to make the potato plants from them. And with a long sprout, there's also all these side shoots that will come off that sprout, just as if you were hilling them up, you know, had planted them vertically. But if you have a long sprout and you dig a trench like I suggested, you might lay the potato sprout kind of diagonally in the trench. And again, just leave the tip of it exposed and bury the lower part of it. So you can kind of get around that too. And you may even get away from some scab problems, because normally the scab is on the surface of the potato tuber and not so much on that sprout that is growing.
I had no idea you could do
that. A little more potatoes that way.
I had no idea you could plant those sprouts without the potato.
Well, I did. I had some, and again, I've done this before, but I had a few that I pulled out. We were getting ready to eat them, and they had, some of them had some half-inch or three-quarter-inch long sprouts on them. And I just took a few of them. I put them in. I had some little pots of potting soil at the same time as I started my tomatoes. And so I put them into the same tray, two or three of these little sprouts in the pots. And they, of course, as they grow, and they did grow, they started to grow very quickly. These were under lights. So now I've got some small potato plants that are, they're 6 inches tall now. They're just slightly smaller than the tomatoes are. So again, I'm going to do the same thing. I'll take them out into the garden somewhere, and I'll plant those, and I'll bury them deeper. in the garden, then I'll up soil around the little plants so the top is still exposed.
Okay. Well, there you go,
so
everybody.
You
learned something new.
Ahead, you want to get a jump on the season, you can do that too indoors if you want. And again, if your soil isn't quite ready, you know, you're still working, maybe you're still making soil as far as that goes, or working on the drainage, you can still plant some of these that way indoors. And another advantage of doing that too, on the one hand, you can sort of avoid some disease issues, but it also means that the potato is immediately growing plenty of roots from that sprout. They don't have any choice. It's grow roots or die. Compared to the sprout that's still attached to a seed potato, that one, there's not the urgency because they're taking the nutrients from the potato itself. So getting more roots and getting that potato actively growing more quickly is a good thing to have.
Okay. And what about some of the pots, some of these taller pots for potatoes? Should this be something like a bucket? Should it have holes in the side of it for aeration? What do you think about that?
Oh, yes. Oh, well, yes, certainly. Mm-hmm. I suppose it depends on how big a pot you're talking about. But good drainage in the bottom and making sure you may very well have drain holes. But if your big pots are just sitting on the ground, then you've got to be careful. You don't want to have those drain holes plugged or right up against the ground because then they may not drain that well.
Yeah.
So like you mentioned, drilling some extra holes near the bottom of the pot in the sides of that can really help, especially considering, you know, the amount of rain we've gotten. April is supposedly our driest month, and it's, I don't know. I haven't seen any figures on record rainfall or not, but we've certainly gotten, I think I've gotten probably 4 or 5 inches of rain, at least in Juneau this month. Considerably wetter than last year. I'm hoping maybe it'll dry out in May. So we have had a lot of rain, and again, just doing that, making sure you've got good drainage for most of our, certainly our vegetable crops, is going to be a really good thing. Maybe that means adding more sand to the soil
sure.
to help loosen it up.
Yep. Okay. Great. That's some great information about potato gardening. Somebody was just building some new boxes I noticed over here by the high school. I noticed yesterday, beautiful boxes, and they were putting up fencing around it, and they didn't have anything planted, and they're wondering if it was a little bit too late. I said, no, it's not. You can plant all sorts of things. Plus, you can even buy starts from, you know, one of the places in town, Island Flowers or wherever, and get a good jump that way, too. So lots you can still do.
We've got to remember, we're still in April.
Yes.
It's still, I mean, it seems like it's been spring forever. And it's been spring since January in my garden. But still, it is only April yet. You know, mm-hmm. we haven't even gotten to May. So, I mean, we're going to be planting for months. So, yeah, you may think, dang, this, you know, people might get tired of gardening for 6, 8, 9, 10 months out of the year. I can think of worse things, I suppose. But still, yes, there's so much stuff you can do. We are not behind. We are just maybe trying to catch up with whatever the normal spring is, which I don't know what normal spring is anymore.
I know.
But certainly not over the last 10 or 15 years. There hasn't been a normal one that I can recall, at any rate. They've all been different.
Before we hang up today, can you talk just briefly about getting the greenhouse ready for the tomatoes, since they're ready to bring out from under the light almost, and it's in the 50s. It has been dropping down a little bit at night, but...
That's a tough one. You know, my greenhouse is still, of course, it's just single-layer Bisqueen. So that means it's the same temperature as outside, which is to say high 30s, low 40s overnight. And tomatoes really don't like that kind of conditions. But certainly we can make sure that our future homes for our tomatoes are nice and clean and bright. If there's glass or fiberglass, clear plastic to be washed, certainly do that so we can let as much light in as we can. And, clean out the floors. So just getting everything ready. I know a lot of folks, I grow mine in big beds, essentially large raised boxes in my greenhouse. But if you're going into big pots, as a whole lot of folks are, again, those pots can be cleaned out. Can you actually start filling those with soil? And the thing to remember with tomatoes, too, is that they're very closely related to potatoes, and they can be hilled also. So, again, if you have a 12-inch deep pot that you're going to put, or a 5-gallon pot, say, that you're going to put your tomatoes in, you can put them down in that bottom 4 or 5 inches, and then hill those up too. And again, they will grow more roots, which will then help you grow a larger, healthier tomato plant later on. So again, look at your containers, think about that. And then there's times when my tomatoes have gotten too tall and leggy and fallen over under lights because it doesn't warm up enough. So I've done the same thing, as we mentioned, with long potato sprouts, laying them in a trench kind of diagonally with the top of them above the ground and bury the lower branches. With those, I'll usually actually pinch the leaves off, but they will grow a whole lot more roots along that stem.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to that, and I've had some of your homegrown tomatoes before, so I know how tasty they are.
I can hardly wait. There's a few little tiny flower buds on a couple of mine, so yeah, maybe we'll have tomatoes hopefully by the 4th of July, or I hope earlier than that. I'm hoping sometime in June, maybe, when the weather warms up and we get more sunshine.
That's great. Yes, let's be positive. Thank you, Ed, for joining us today. We'll be looking forward to talking to you next week and finding out what we should be doing in our gardens. And if
All right.
In the meantime, folks, if you have a question, you can always email mindy@kfsk.org, and I can even ask that question for you when we get Ed on the air next week. So, Ed,
okay.
We're going to...
next week, Mindy.
Yeah, we're going to let you get back to your gardening, and we've got some music coming up here on KFSK. So we'll be talking to you next week, Ed.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye. Have a good day.
There ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon.
Support for In the Garden comes from the Flower Farm, offering bedding plants, flowering pansies, trees, shrubs, and more. And arriving this week, hanging baskets in all colors. The Flower Farm open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesdays at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing.
Homegrown tomatoes, what'll life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Once again, thank you to Ed Byarski for taking time out of his busy gardening day to join us for In the Garden. Coming up next, high country music with Malena Marvin. And then we'll bring you All Things Considered with a KFSK news update at 4:30.
You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll life be without homegrown tomatoes?